Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you, as always, by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Belsky, joined, as always, by Nick Horwat. And, well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about for the Pittsburgh Penguins. It is a de facto do-or-die game tonight against the Detroit Red Wings, a big one in the city of Pittsburgh. Lars Eller might not be ready for that one. He's under the weather, missed practice yesterday. We'll talk about him and who could potentially be replacing him in the lineup later this evening. We'll talk a little bit more about Alex Nedeljkovic and where his current run fits in Penguins lore, because the Penguins have a long history of goaltenders stepping up, and sometimes unsuspecting goaltenders stepping up and making a big impact on this team and on this organization. We'll talk about where Alex Nedeljkovic currently fits in that and where he would fit in that if he gets the Penguins over the finish line and into the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we'll round it all out with the NHLPA players poll. Lots of love for Sidney Crosby and a little bit of love for a Penguins blue liner. That will close out the show. But before we get into that, Horwat, you're a golf guy. I'm a golf guy. It's Masters weekend. I haven't been to Augusta. That's a bucket list thing for me. But sun, day, red. Tiger Woods teeing off in the afternoon, letting us both wake up a little bit, and him probably taking that long to get his joints warmed up. Excited for the Masters. Do you have a favorite going into this weekend?
Ever since I saw the first season of Full Swing, I've always been on. I mean, I know they've only had like two Masters since then. But I've always been rooting for Koepka to go for the Masters, because there was that one scene where they showed his trophy room and he just has a big gaping spot open on his wall, and he said that's where the green jacket is going. So eventually I want to see him win one, so I'm always rooting for him because I think it'd be cool to see him finish that. Plus, I think that would give him his slam, I think, too. I think he's got
every other slam
major. So that would finish off that part of, you know, golf history, but also just to see him finally fill that hole in his trophy case. Just a fun thing because I enjoyed that part of the show. Other than that, I mean, I've always been a Ricky Fowler guy, and he won the par three, mm-hmm. the par three thing yesterday. So that's the only thing he's winning this weekend. Other than that, I probably just anyone that I watched on Full Swing. I don't have too many, because I like golf as a whole. I don't pick out too many favorites. I have guys I definitely dislike. Like I'm a noted Rory hater, and a noted Bryson DeChambeau hater. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe just not those two guys.
Yeah, if we're going for who we hope wins, Ricky's always at the top of my list. You know that I watched Ricky from a very young age. He was, you know, golfing in Johnstown, PA. This is nice. Where he got his opportunity at the U.S. Open, winning that tournament at the Sonny Hanna Open a couple of different times, and I got to watch him and follow him along. So I always root for Ricky. Mm-hmm. I would say Rory. You know, eventually
something's got to break through.
Eventually something's got to break at Augusta. I mean, Rory just does not play that course well. So I'd like to see Rory win, and I'd also like to see Tiger.
Of course.
You always want to see actual Sunday Red make it to Sunday. But again, I don't know if I'd put my money on it. I'm honestly looking at Will Zalatoris this year. I think Will Zalatoris is somebody that I'm gonna back a little bit with the pocketbook and try to see if he could get a top five or maybe even take home the green jacket. But, you know, it's a beautiful golf course. It's always fun to put that on in the background when we're working. I mean, golf in general is for me, it might be a weird thing. It's always one of my favorite background things to put on when I'm working. But the Masters certainly elevates that to another level. But let's get back into hockey, NHL. Last week of the regular season, the Penguins, well, they really haven't gotten a lot of help as of this week. They lose in overtime to the Toronto Maple Leafs, but they do grab the standings point. But the next day, Islanders win, Capitals win, and all of a sudden, the Penguins need both of those teams to lose at least one more game than the Penguins just to get into the playoffs. That makes tonight, and I mentioned it earlier, a de facto must win. No, they aren't going to get E-dash next to their name if they lose tonight, but if they do lose, it opens the door for potentially a 5-point deficit to the Islanders, in which they would need to lose out to be able to catch them. It would be potentially a 3-point deficit to the Capitals, both of those teams in action tonight against the Montreal Canadiens and the Buffalo Sabres, and it would open up a 2-point lead for Detroit, so you'd have to pass another team to try to get into there. So again, de facto must win for the Penguins later this evening.
Absolutely. It's as essential as of playoff games you're going to get for this final run. I mean, I know we've said it for the past 4 or 5 games now, each game has just become more important than the last. But considering the 2 days off and, you know, kind of what happened with the overtime loss on Monday, followed by certain wins and certain losses from the outside, I mean, in a way, the Penguins still got some outside help with on Tuesday because the bar to get in was lowered a bit, but yeah. Also, now it's a matter of the Penguins need to essentially win more games than their opponents, than the other teams in this race. And that starts with winning more than Detroit tonight, winning against Detroit in what could have just a massive swing in terms of, you know, playoff odds and all of that mumbo jumbo. It's going to be a big one. The vibes in the arena on Saturday for Tampa Bay were really good. They were big. It was a big game energy. This one should be twice as big, even if it is a Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned it. It's big. They're going to need to win one more than their opponents. The good thing is the Washington Capitals, who right now are the figurehead of that wild card 2 position, they have games this weekend against Tampa and Boston. So that helps a little bit. But again, you have to see how things shake out, because the Islanders had a game against the Rangers and it looked like they were going to run away with it. They were up 3-0 at one point. They end up winning it 4-2. So again, whenever you have the fate of your season in somebody else's hands, it's not a good feeling, especially when these teams are all vying for 2 spots remaining in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But tonight's game is going to be obviously massive. You win that game, you open up a 2-point lead, plus you have the tiebreaker over the Detroit Red Wings. Therefore, you technically have a 3-point lead over the Red Wings going into the final 3 games, which would be a nice separation there between the Penguins and the rest of the pack behind them. But you might have to do it without your third line center. Lars Eller, absent from practice yesterday and picture day, as we've talked about, obviously, a couple times via text. According to Mike Sullivan, he is sick. Penguins have been having something going around the locker room and has hit the third line center, Lars Eller, as of right now. Penguins brought up and slotted in Radim Zahorna during practice, sending Sam Poulin back to Wilkes-Barre Scranton. You said Mike Sullivan said that's to get him some games played, some ice time. It's because he has been a healthy scratch for the last handful of games for the Penguins. What do you think of Zahorna potentially slotting in for a game of this magnitude?
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. That's what's making me assume that Lars Eller will be okay. We'll see him at morning skate this morning, and it'll just kind of be water under the bridge, and we all sort of move on, just because, I mean, I would assume, and this is just my assumption, again, I'm not in the coaching staff room or anything like that, I would assume if you were to lose Lars Eller and you knew you were going to be missing him for a game or two, I would assume that Sam Poulin slots in over a guy like Radim Zahorna. I get Zahorna has the NHL experience, has the history, and has, you know, scored before, but I just feel like his ship has sailed. That's just my thought of it. There may have been other points of the season where Zahorna could have been recalled, but he wasn't. So I'd say that his ship may just be sailed, and that's why, because Mike Sullivan said that they wanted to get Sam Poulin playing time. If you did, you had an opportunity to do it at the NHL level if you knew you were going to be without Eller. So that's what kind of makes me think Eller will be fine and be okay. Mm-hmm. But and mostly because it, you know, with illness, most oftentimes it is just a one day, they move on, and we're good to go. And the illness going around the Penguins has sidelined guys for multiple games, but hopefully this one is just one of those. He was maybe sick Tuesday and Wednesday, and he's good for Thursday. That's just my thought process of it. But if it comes down to it and Radim Zahorna is in the third line center spot to go into tonight, it's a frightening, frightening thought. But also, I think Zach Aston-Reese is going to be on the other end of the ice. So we'll see. We'll see how things go when it comes to the depth forwards of both of these teams.
Yeah, the last time Radim Zahorna suited up for an NHL game was January 15th, and at that point, you're right, a lot of people were fed up with watching Radim Zahorna at the National Hockey League level. Now, he has performed well at the American League level. He has scored a bunch of points in the last five games for the American League Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. He's helped lead them to a playoff berth, but at the same time, AHL scoring doesn't always translate to NHL scoring. Look at Alex Nylander when he was with the Penguins. Now when he's with the Columbus Blue Jackets, who's basically an AHL team in their own right, he's performing well. So maybe that's the key. When you look at Jansen Harkins, who came over as a guy that everybody said, well, he's an AHL scorer if you could just translate it. He has zero goals this season. So while yes, it's nice to see Radim Zahorna playing good hockey at the American League level, and maybe that should be rewarded, this is a massive game. An absolutely massive game for the Penguins. He has four goals in 31 games this season. And if you look at what he did in the preseason, that was his best work, right? He had a couple of decent stints at the National Hockey League level, a couple of decent games at the National Hockey League level, but it just overall was not enough to warrant him even remaining in the lineup or remaining with the team. So having him come back really at the last minute here, It's not a comforting feeling, I'll tell you that much. But at the same time, you look at what Valtteri Puustinen has done and Riley Smith has done over the last little stretch here. Both of them have zero goals in 11 straight games. So maybe putting Zahorna in that role boosts a guy like Valtteri Puustinen. Those two have some pretty good chemistry. They showed it in the preseason. They showed it early in the season with the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. So maybe that kickstarts something there. And as I talked about yesterday, it feels like the Penguins might need some depth scoring in the next four games to help push them over the top. And if that helps them, then great. But at the same time, it's not like Lars Eller has played poorly, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's not like he's lighting the world up. He's not scoring a bunch of goals. His only goal in recent memory is an empty netter against the Washington Capitals. But if you look at what he's done over this nine-game stretch, Lars Eller has been on the ice for 3 goals for and 0 goals against at 5-on-5. So doing the job that he was brought here to do, which is play defense and chip in at least a little bit at a time. 1 goal every 3 games when he's on the ice, not him scoring it, but somebody scoring it. That's not poor play from his part. So it's unfortunate that he might have to miss tonight's game. But like you mentioned, we don't know that. It might be the 24-hour bug that's bugged a couple of guys. Tristan Jarry notably was out for 2 games. He had the emergency backup goaltender in New York, and then Joel Blomqvist came over for the New Jersey game to back up. So we'll see if Eller is good to go. There's a chance that he is. And like you mentioned, if there was a chance that they knew he wasn't, why would you not put Poulin in there? I think that's a difficult decision.
Yeah.
Because, again, Poulin has 6 games of NHL experience. To put him in this magnitude of a game at third line center, no less, it's a tough call there. Now, again, I love Poulin. I want to see him succeed. And honestly, I think that if I was weighing my options, I might go in that direction, but I would not be 100% sold in saying, well, Sam, you've never scored an NHL goal in your life, but we're going to put you in at an elevated role at third line center somewhere you haven't played yet this season in a must-win game for a Penguins team that really needs to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think another part of this decision, too, is Mike Sullivan talks about sometimes, because we saw it with Valtteri Puustinen whenever he first got up, sometimes when those guys get the recall after a certain amount of time in the AHL, they come in with that jump. They come in with a little extra giddy-up in their, in their hitch. So maybe, just maybe, there's an idea also of, if you're putting Zahorna in, well, it's his first NHL game in months. And for what it's worth, his first games back in the NHL this season started off pretty decently. He had a goal and assist in back-to-back games, I think. So if you can get that good jump from someone coming back into the lineup and just kind of utilize that energy, suddenly that's not a bad option either. So there are different ways of kind of viewing this recall. So it's still kind of worrisome if it's not Lars Eller, but if you can fall back on something positive, it is that maybe that jump would be there.
we'll have to wait and see. There's a chance that he ends up being in the press box eating nachos tonight. But again, that's something that morning skates in a couple hours here. Mm-hmm. We'll have to keep an eye on and see what the status of Lars Eller is. But we're going to take a quick break. When we return, is Alex Nedeljkovic joining Penguins goaltender lore? It's a long story with a lot of chapters. Alex Nedeljkovic is writing the latest of that. We'll be right back after this break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, and we're talking a little bit about Alex Nedeljkovic, and why wouldn't we? He is the singular sole force between the Penguins' pipes over this nine-game stretch, the goaltender of record in a 6-0-3 run, and I think twice now, back-to-back weeks, ending up on the NHL's social media goaltenders of the week graphic. So good on Alex Nedeljkovic for that, but is he joining Penguins lore? This comes via the mind of one Nick Horwat. He texted me this morning and said, you know, the Penguins, they have a long list of unsuspecting goaltenders making major contributions in pretty big runs for the Penguins. Now you go down through the list and it is certainly a collection of names, Horwat. I mean, you start as early as, and you can go back further than this, but this is as far back as we're going to go. You can go with Frankie Pietrangelo and the save in 1991. You can go Ken Reggett in 1996, his 7-2 run to the Penguins Eastern Conference Finals against the Florida Panthers, and as Horwat likes to mention,
the 0-4 overtime game that he didn't even start, and I think that's the highlight of that run.
It is. It is. So yeah, I got Kenny Reggett in 96, he got Johan Hedberg in 2001, Tomas Vokoun in 2013. You can go Mr. Game 1 himself, Jeff Zadkoff in 2016. You could throw Matt Murray in there in 2016 as well, I would say. And then Louis Domingue is as recently as 2022, and I don't know if you want to throw it in there, last game of the season. I can't remember his name. Maxime Lagasse shutting out the Buffalo Sabres in a meaningless game the last game of the season. You could throw that in there as a footnote, but again, long list, long lineage of unsuspecting or backup goaltenders straight up coming in and making an impact and writing their names into the Penguins history books to the tune of Frankie Pietrangelo was a backup.
Yeah.
We're 30 plus years later, and that's a household name in a lot of Penguins fan base houses because he made the save.
Yeah. It's
so interesting.
That's where it all kind of starts. And when it comes down to it, it's Alex Nedeljkovic has the opportunity to kind of write his name into that history book because, you know, there's the regular season run to this of getting the team into the playoffs. I don't remember exactly what, I mean, obviously I don't remember, but I didn't look deep enough into the Johan Hedberg thing where it was, he was 6-1-1, I think, in his first, I think he played nine games to end that season, but went 6-1-1 or 7-1-1 something. But it was the playoff run that got, you know, his name noticed in Penguins history. For what it's worth, that's kind of what Nedeljkovic is shooting for. That hot, not start to his career or start to the season, whatever it may be, but just that hot stretch at the end of the year to force this team into the playoffs and then go from there. I'd say getting into the postseason is enough for this story to be written. You know, whenever we were discussing a couple years ago the Louis Domingue situation, I don't think Domingue reaches that level just because of that he didn't win. You know, he got put in and got that awesome game one, But that's kind of where the story ended. Yeah, he got two more wins out of that, but he wasn't great in one of them. And, you know, if he was able to shut the door and get them out of the first round, maybe we have that discussion. But I'd say when it comes to these names, you know, I like the idea of Maxim Lagasse being the footnote. I'd say you put Dash Louis Dominguez the footnote as well, because, you know, and you don't want to add one more Dash. Alex Nedeljkovic needs to finish off this story to not be a footnote as well. This run is great. But we've seen goalies go on really hot runs and not do anything. I always go back to Andrew Hammond with the Senators. Fantastic run. I think he got them into the postseason, but then did nothing. And hasn't done much with his career since. So he's got to force this team into the playoffs. And to put his name up with, again, these aren't Hall of Famers we're discussing here, but incredible names and stuff of legend in this franchise.
If you said that list of names, Pietrangelo, Reggett, Hedberg, Vokoun, Zadkov, Murray, Domingue, in Pittsburgh, there's a, I'll say, 60% chance that somebody's going to know all of those names.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, well, they all stepped up big time for the local hockey club. Now, again, does Alex Nedeljkovic finish the story, per se?
Hey.
That's going to be the biggest judgment of whether or not and where he falls on this list. But I would say, I mean, if we're putting Maxim Lagasse on this list, 100%, he's already made the list, but where he falls on that list, whether he is a footnote, like you mentioned, or he's actually up there, that's going to be determined on how the next four games play out, not just in Pittsburgh, but on Long Island, in the nation's capital, in D.C., I guess you could throw Philly in there. They've now lost eight straight. It seems like they are on the mat and probably staying there. But, I mean, where would you rank these, or where would you rank him among these goaltenders and their feats if he pulls it off and just gets them into the playoffs? Let's start there.
Yeah, because it's a moving, it is a moving scale. If he gets them into the playoffs and then pushes them further, then suddenly that legend grows. As of right now, though, if it just get him in, I think Murray is still number one, considering he came in and won the damn cup in his rookie season.
Twice
in his rookie season. The 17 run, though, I don't think we count as much because he was there all season, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But definitely the 16 run for Murray has to be first.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to like remember the rest of the list here. Thomas Vokoun was interesting because he got them pretty far, right? He took over for a struggling Flurry and got them to the Eastern Conference Finals. It wasn't pretty far. It was... They got swept, but it was...
But that wasn't on him, though. I mean, the offense evaporated. Like, that was the Iginla year. That was the Morrow year. And they got shut out, I think, in two or three of those games, including a 2-0 victory or a 2-1 loss in game four. That was not on Vokoun in that one.
Yeah, and what ended up being the final games of his career, by the way? He went out, I mean, aside from that series, went out on a pretty high note. And Hedberg, for him, it was starting his career. It was... The first seven games, like I mentioned, and then I believe, I forget how far they got, but there was that series win in Buffalo that they weren't supposed to win. And I think they won another one after that, even. The 0-1 year is escaping me entirely, but everyone remembers Darius Kasparaitis' goal. And you just remember that Johan Hedberg out-goalied, for the most part, Dominik Hasek. So I'd say that one could fall into that number three slot. And then Alex Nedeljkovic, if he's able to finish this off, will start at the four, and only go up from there, depending on how the playoffs turn out.
Yeah, I would put Kenny Reggett in 96, like 1A, 1B with Tomas Vokoun for second.
Okay, yeah.
And then I think, like you mentioned, I think it would be Hedberg, Nedeljkovic, based on how it goes after that. But if he gets into the playoffs, he's automatically top five. He's above, you know, Zadkov. He's above Domingue. He's above Pietrangelo, because, I mean, you look at Domingue and Pietrangelo, they were very small sample sizes, what those guys contributed. Not to say that it's not, you know, massive in Frankie Pietrangelo's sense, what he was able to do against the New Jersey Devils back in 91. But I would say, Murray's the clear-cut number one. You take over from a Hall of Famer and you go on to win a Stanley Cup in your rookie year, your actual rookie year, not just rookie year part one. You're far and away. Like, there's a chasm between him and number two and number three. But yeah, number two and number three, Vokoun, definitely, and Reggett, definitely. You get this team to a, you know, conference final, being a backup, and again, both of them stepping in for Hall of Fame goaltenders. I mean, Vokoun was Flurry, Reggett was Tommy Barrasso. So, you know, I think that what Nedeljkovic is doing right now is something that won't easily be forgotten, but especially by a fan base that has always looked at these interesting scenarios of backup goaltenders stepping up and being huge in spring. And that's always the biggest thing. When you do it in the springtime, people tend to remember. Alex Nedeljkovic is doing this in the springtime, and if he finishes this story, if he goes all Cody Rhodes on it, if he gets these last four games and the Penguins either win them or just skate by into the playoffs, he's going to solidify his name. Even in 1 year with the organization, he's going to solidify his name in, as you mentioned, in Penguins lore.
Yeah.
It's not like some crazy, we're going to hang our hat, we're going to hang a banner. The Penguins are not that type of organization. But he'll be in the chapter of backup goaltenders really getting on players or fans' good side. I mean, you see Hedberg jerseys in PPG Paints Arena on a nightly basis. I don't know if I've seen any Vokoun ones or Zatkoff's.
I own one if you need me to pull it out.
I guess that's true. Oh, Jesus. I've not seen the Vokoun.
It's signed. I got it a couple years ago. From whenever the Penguins, it was probably during the pandemic, whenever the Penguins were doing like their random locker cleanout sale, and they just had it available for, I think, like $100 or something cheap. And I went, I'll buy an autographed Thomas Vokoun jersey.
Well, I stand corrected. Somebody does have a Vokoun jersey, and he is Rytnik. So I found it. So it's going to be interesting to see how this story plays out, but it's certainly been a fairy tale to this point for Alex Nedeljkovic, and really for the Penguins to be able to get back into this position considering where they were at just 2.5 weeks ago. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a couple Penguins received some praise from the NHLPA player poll. We'll talk about that to finish out this show. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. The NHLPA player poll came out yesterday, and it's always interesting to see what these players have been voting on and which Penguins are viewed highly by their peers. Sidney Crosby, to no one's surprise, popped up three times in this player poll. First and foremost, if you need to win a faceoff, who would you pick? He comes in second by a narrow margin. Yeah. To Ryan O'Reilly. O'Reilly had 14.5% of the voters. Crosby had 13.5%, but still finishes second among all NHLers. Who is the most... If you need to win one game, who is the forward you want on your team? Connor McDavid, unsurprisingly, was the number one guy voted, 49%. And then there's a huge drop-off in second place behind him. Sidney Crosby, 12% of the vote. So still up there as far as getting the respect of his peers, not quite to Connor McDavid, who's ridiculous on a daily basis, scoring 4 or 5 points a game when he's not injured. But, you know, interesting that Crosby is still right there above Nikita Kucherov, above Nathan MacKinnon, above David Pastrnak, above, you know, the list goes on and on. There's a lot of really good NHLers in today's game, but Sidney Crosby still viewed as 1B or number 2 to Connor McDavid on players that you want in a do-or-die situation, which, hey, that's good for the Penguins because they have one of those coming up tonight. And then the last one, the most important one, who is the most complete player for the fifth year in a row, Horwat? Sidney Crosby voted the NHL's most complete player by his peers, 38%. Go to Sidney Crosby. Second place was Sasha Barkov of the Florida Panthers. What do you think about Crosby getting some love from his peers?
Nothing's changed, really. I think this year really solidified that fact, too. It's into year 19, another point-per-game season, another season of his third, shockingly only third, 40-goal season. Mm-hmm. It's the guys around him understand. Like the guys in the room know how good he is still. And then the guys he goes up against on a nightly basis still understand just how good he is. And according to them, on both ends of the ice, at the center dot, and how he can come up big in clutch situations. That's all just... I mean, if you really think about it, he won the Eastern Conference vote with that one. If you want to really give him a gold medal somewhere, because he needs more of those. The league understands still just how good he is. It's not even just the record-breaking or the... You know, the numbers he's putting up, he's still respected by what looks like everyone in the league, no matter what age he is or where the team is. Team still might not make the playoffs, but Sidney Crosby is still all of these things. Also, when it comes to the faceoff thing, his numbers are better this year than ever.
Yeah, so. He's leading the NHL, and he's also taking far and away more faceoffs than anybody else in the NHL. So he's certainly had himself a year, Horvat. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned, you know, the accolades, the milestones, they just come with the territory at this stage of his career, year 19. But 2 points away from passing Phil Esposito and going into the top 10 all-time in NHL scoring, I think we both agree that that's likely to happen over the next four games. I would assume he scores at least 2 points to tie Esposito in four games with the season on the line. But again, we'll have to watch and see. But Crosby's having another stellar season, and his peers have voted him as, you know, a lot of different categories here. I mean, You need to win a game. That's Crosby. You use the most complete player, Crosby, for the fifth straight season as well. Going from age, 32 to 36? And he's still the most complete player, according to his peers in the NHL. So a lot of love for the captain. Now, if you're an Erik Karlsson hater, you might want to close your ears for a second, because he's the only other Penguin to be named on these NHLPA player polls. Who is the best breakout passer in the game? Cale Makar gets first. Quinn Hughes gets second. There's so many Hughes brothers, I had to think for a second before I said it. Adam Fox third. Victor Hedman fourth. And then Erik Karlsson finishes fifth on the list. Best breakout passers, 8% of the vote, which is somewhere around 50-some players. If I'm not mistaken, I'll have to look that up while you talk, Horvat. But Erik Karlsson getting a little bit of love for his offensive ability.
Hey, he always has. I mean, 100 points last year goes a long way to really, you know, letting people know what kind of player you are. And yeah, there's been a lot of discussions about Erik Karlsson this year. But as of late, you know, he's really turned things on, really turned things around. His skating ability is noticeable. And when it comes to this category specifically, I mean, breakout passer, I think every forward on the Penguins team kind of sees what kind of passer he is. He can get pucks out. He can get pucks. He's a master of that craft, essentially. And not only that, you have to figure that this is the NHLPA voting on it. So it's a bunch of players. It's all, essentially, all of the forwards in the Penguins room making that vote. And don't forget about the guys he was dishing to all of last year for 100 points. So There's those guys in there, too, that still think, or at least still have that feeling of Erik Karlsson is still stupid good at this.
Well, if it's the 19 remaining players on the Penguins roster and the 20 players on the Sharks roster, there's still a little bit left over.
Yeah.
I did the math. There's about 44 players that voted for Erik Karlsson in that poll.
It's not terrible. And that's, for what it's worth, I mean, these player polls don't mean that much in the grand scheme of things. It is just kind of the way the peers look at each other. And that's big for them. And, I mean, 44 players still believe that, you know, Erik Karlsson is one of the best passers on the blue line because of maybe they've had pucks fed to them from him, or maybe they've just watched it happen against them a billion times. It's quite fun. There was one category in this list, I don't have it pulled up, that made me really scratch my head, though, and it's not even what we need to discuss. I can tell you after. But
well, now I'm curious.
I will have to look it up. I don't remember it right now, though.
You've piqued my interest. I mean, is it the Global Series one? If you were going to play one game in a foreign country, which would it be? And they chose Italy?
No, but that's just to drive home. They want to go to the Olympics.
That's true.
That's just true. Drive that home.
That's saying, do not take this from us again. Please don't. And I honestly hope they don't. Now, was that 2026, the Olympics in Italy?
So whatever the next one is, I think.
It is, yeah, I think it's 2026 because we have the Four Nations face-off next year, And then the following year will be the Olympics. Crosby will still be good. You know, Crosby will still be, at the very least, still be a third liner on that team, but we all know he's going to be a second liner behind probably Connor McDavid. Him and MacKinnon on a line in the Olympics, I think that's what we all need to see, though.
Yeah, and there's already been a bunch of talks of Sid maybe going to the World Championship this year.
They're going to make the playoffs. Listen. It'd be fun, but at the same time, you know, Team USA does not need to deal with Sidney Crosby at the World Championships.
I just think the idea is they want to try and get Bedard and Crosby on the same team, which, again, will probably happen at Four Nations Face-Off, possibly the Olympics, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, the more you get to see two generational talents on the ice together, which makes me wonder, McDavid and Crosby haven't been on the same ice together for Team Canada.
Correct, they have not.
So you got a lot of teammates. MacKinnon and Crosby have not been on the same team because MacKinnon was on Team North America during the World Cup of Hockey, which is the last time, if I remember incorrectly, the last time that Sidney Crosby represented, you know, the Team Canada as their captain in 2016. So it's been a long, long time. So international hockey coming back is never a bad thing, Horwat. No. Never a bad thing. Obviously, I think we all remember 2010. Was it 2010 or 2011?
That was 2010.
10. Yeah, 2010 with the golden goal. 2014, the Chris Kunitz Olympics, as I like to call them. So it'll be fun to see some Olympic hockey, some international hockey return for some of the world's best players, and especially at the level that some of these players are at this stage of the game, and Team USA looking pretty damn good, right? Before it was like, hey, we got Patrick Kane, but now it's like we could put all just Hughes brothers out there and we'll be cooking. So that is interesting. I know. I see the think bubbles popping out too. I don't know what StreamYard is doing right now, but I think that is telling us that we need to get off the show here. That's going to do it for this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg. Massive game on Fifth Avenue later this evening. Detroit Red Wings, Pittsburgh Penguins. The fate of the playoffs could very well hang in the balance tonight, Horwat. It'll be an interesting one. But that's it for this one. We'll see you guys next time.